My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Outdoor Podcast. I'm Tim. This is Dave. We're here in studio chatting it up. Welcome to the spring kickoff.
Before we get started today, I just want to say a special shout out to the companies who make this show possible. XOP Gear, who's making really great tree stands and harnesses and saddles, tree climbing sticks. They got pretty much everything you need to get up in the air as a bow hunter and get it done. I want to thank Trophy Ridge to help us bring all the rest you see in this show all the time. Of course, the Whisker Biscuit, what I consider king, because we're always using it here on the show, of course. But Trophy Ridge is also giving you 20% off. If you need it, go ahead and take it. Use code BHP2025. Take 20% off on their website today. You won't be disappointed, and it'll help hook you up. I also want to say a special shout-out to Moultrie, who's making the Edge 2 and the Edge 2 Pro cameras, who are helping you get in the field and know when to get in the field with their amazing app, because it's going to give you information about the deer movement. It is really, really cool. Yes, welcome. This is our first edition this year, although we do have some footage to show you guys. We'll get to that in the next episode, but today's episode is just kind of an intro back into it this year. This would be from 2017 till today. How many years is that?
Ooh, that's a long time. I don't want to think about it, but that's eight, if I'm doing the math.
Yeah, so 8 years. This is our eighth year, I guess, doing this podcast.
That's
so
right. Yeah, eighth season.
We're testing out a little different set today, just got a little bit more room right here, so we decided to try this out today. But normally we'll be in our normal spot, in our studio room
office. Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, mix it up.
You know, you probably will see us at the campground a couple times too. So
yeah, so right now we're in spring, and we're about to kick off the Total Archery Challenges are coming up. They're around the corner, so that's something to look forward to for those who are looking to get out and shoot some archery on the mountains, which is kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. Crystal Mountain, they're actually keeping both this year, which is weird. Or they added another one. So they have three. So they
three in Michigan.
Yeah, so they're Crystal Mountain, Boyne, and there's apparently one in UP.
Yeah, so... Yep. Which I did hear, you know, in talking, I think it's Nick. Nick is the owner. I might got that wrong. So
yeah,
forgive me if I'm wrong there. But I remember talking to him and going over kind of all the locations that they go, Pennsylvania and Colorado and all that stuff. Michigan was their largest turnout.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they expand it. You know, we have such a, and that holds. I mean, we have so many hunters in the state of Michigan. It's kind of cool. But to see the archery community turn out even better. Kind of a fun time.
So actually, this brings me to my talking point today I wanted to get to anyway, since we're talking about the wonderful state of Michigan and hunting.
Oh, boy.
Today, I wanted to talk about a little bit of the CWD, I don't know what you want to call it, but there's something going on there that's very...
Sus.
And nowadays, I've always felt this way, but I always like to put, people have the best intentions, right? Like in life, like I always like to feel people have the best intentions for everybody, when they're doing these things that, but when I researched CWD, what I came up with, was first off, I saw an article about it in the Free Press and I thought, I'm going to read this article. I don't usually do it, but it says, oh, CWD found in this farm deer, right? This just happened like a couple weeks ago. And I'm like, yeah, it seems a little sus. I'm going to break into this detail a little bit more. So I start reading it, right? And I start, highlighting all the data they put in this thing. And what it turns out to be is one deer out of hundreds of thousands of tests.
Yeah.
So basically, it's like, when I did the math, so I did all the mathematics backwards and everything, I figured it all out, went on the DNR's page, figured out, how many tests are being administered, how many deer have it. It's literally less than 1%.
Yeah.
It's less than 1%.
But all of our rules are based around that
1%. That's what I'm saying. So
1% of deer, and what my whole argument was, and I did a video on this, and people really did respond to it dramatically, actually.
Good
was,
or bad?
Oh, in a positive way. They all agree with me. But the thing is you look at it from a perspective of CWD, what we don't know about it, right?
A lot.
We don't know if it hasn't already been here since 1,000, you know, to 1,500s. It could have always been a CWD. It could always been the natural process for deer to pass away.
Maybe the deer didn't get vaccinated.
Maybe the deer didn't get vaccinated. Maybe that's the issue. But anyway, so part of my research I did on it was how much does it cost for these tests? Like, who's making money here, right? Follow the money. That's the way I look at it in my mind.
Well, and is it selective testing too, right? You need random samples, you know, are they... Regardless. Let's play that one out. Let's say it's not selective. And they're testing populations that are higher in CWD, right? Like, you take your deer in to report it because you think it has it, and then they find it, and then they record it.
Yeah.
Well, that would increase the numbers, right? But when you increase the numbers, you're still only at less than 1%.
Yeah, correct. You know? If I did all the numbers, I'd
so either the
all
numbers
the
are right or they're inflated. Yeah. Either way, less than 1%.
Less than 1%, and I looked at the cost, and I don't know the true cost Michigan's paying per test, but I did find, like, the average using AI and, like, what is it? And it was somewhere between 130 and 160. I took the lowest of that, which you probably should take the middle, but the lowest. And so far, we've run X amount of tests, which is like 200-something thousand tests or something. Anyway, it comes out to about $17-18 million. And that's give or take, you know, depending on that test price. Could be a little less, could be a little more. But the point is, we're spending that much money. We're banning baiting, right? Yeah. Which takes away farmers' money from selling this bait, takes away our ability to harvest more deer to help get the population down and keep it at
which
at
they want
bay.
Us to take out all the deer,
so
they, you know.
I'm just not following. And now I see legislation coming through that they're talking about, oh, well, you know what? You know, we're gonna push this idea through that you can bait again, but you have to buy a permit to do that for $20. And I'm thinking in my mind, I'm just like, oh my God, these people, all they ever care about is money.
Yeah.
It's all they care about. And then and on top of it, the money's to pay for CWD testing.
Well, but let's couple
I mean, what
that,
is this, the big scam?
Let's couple that like, with the fact that they're raising the fees on everything.
Well, that's the other thing. They didn't talk about that. Yeah, that wasn't
so,
even talked about.
Because they haven't raised fees in such a long time and inflation and blah, blah, blah. But you have a dwindling population of hunters, right? Do you think raising the price is going to bring more hunters in?
That's the issue. The people running the show are not oriented for hunting. You know what I mean? They're oriented for what they want to call science. They want to call these other things, which you know because you studied science in college. You know, there's a limit to that, especially when you – I guess let me put that back on you. So take your scientific mind, right?
Yeah.
And then take your hunting mind because you're also a hunter now.
Yeah.
And what did you think about that whole scenario? Like, if you saw this, you're doing those tests, you saw that 1%, what's your thought process?
Well,
I think just
science theory in general, you can make the numbers look however you want typically, right? Like, there's a scientific process that you're going to follow. I get it. You can, you know, say that all day long, but at the end of the day, it all depends on how you're running the tests, what data you're collecting, and how you're going to justify that data, right? So let's say we have these test results. What does that tell us, right? There's nothing out there that tells us anything. It's just, here's the numbers. Now we have to make decisions based off of these numbers. So it really has nothing to do with anything other than a means of justifying where we were already going with our decisions, in my mind.
Yeah.
Right? I can use those numbers to justify it one way, or I can use those numbers to justify it the other way. It's kind of like politics, if you will.
Well, that was my point in the original... when we started the conversation about the article, is nothing more than fear-mongering. Like, all of a sudden, they just want to plaster in the media that there's a CWD incident. But it's one deer. And it's on a farm. And it's out of... it's less than 1%. So my whole point is this. If we do the numbers, and we just use math as the logic here, why are we doing any CWD testing? Why are we changing any rules? There's nothing to change, nothing to do, nothing to see here besides wasting money.
Right.
There's no reason.
Track it. Try something new. See if it changes, right? You have a baseline of how many deer have it at that less than 1%. So change a rule. Do some testing and see if that pushes the numbers one way or the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Try something with it. Don't just say, here's the numbers, and because we have one, that justifies us from shutting down everything else and doing all of these other things because of this one incident, you know? I don't buy it, and I think that you can make decisions differently. And to me, this whole thing is not necessarily, it's nothing more to in my mind than they have to show value to their work. Mm-hmm. If they do all of this work and then they find out that the numbers are so low it doesn't mean anything, then they've wasted all this money, right? So we have to justify spending that money by implementing these rules.
Yeah.
Right. So it's about showing that they did something and what they did was meaningful. And I'm sorry, you know, I'm probably pissing off some DNR people. Sorry. But facts are facts.
I mean, it's not that we're trying to. No, I love the DNR. I'm good with the DNR. I just, they need to step up in their own areas and say, OK, we don't need this. It's got to go. Bye bye. Yeah. We're not wasting money and then expecting more money from us, raising fees.
And logically, no, try something different, because what everybody argues about is that what you're doing isn't helping. Or that the problem is so small that it doesn't matter, right? So let's do something different and get another baseline data set that we can go out there and say, we tried this, it did or didn't help,
mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, yeah, I guess my whole thing is, the way I look at it is like, if I run numbers, if I run a business and I run a project and the project tells me less than 1% is gonna work, then to me, I just cancel the whole program. Yeah. I'm done. There's no more money wasted. We proved it out. We proved out CWD is not an issue. It's basically proven. Yeah. They proved it themselves by testing all these tiers.
Same thing with like TB areas, right? Where there's been bans on baiting for a long time, but TB still exists in those areas. So what has it really done to do all this stuff? And their solution is, we're going to give you a $5 antlerless deer license rather than a $20 antlerless deer license so that we can harvest more deer out of that population. I can't tell you how long that's been in place. How much longer are you expecting the result to be? Like, give us some guidelines. Like, if you're saying we're going to ban this, we're going to not do this, we're going to do this, then set the expectation as to when you think the result is going to happen. Is it going to be 3 years?
But what is the result? Where's the end game? If we're less than 20% deer herd, then we're going to cancel all the baiting issues. No problem. We're all back to normal. But we're less than 1%.
So give us a goal to track to, you know?
It doesn't even make sense. But yeah. And then the other thing I think is laughable, I mean truly laughable, is to say that, okay, guess what, guys? Oh, we got this great thing going on. Guess what? We're going to let you bait again, and now you get to pay for it. I think it's laughable, because my point is, you said all along, it's baiting's the issue. Baiting's the issue. And all of a sudden, oh, baiting's not really an issue, especially if you're willing to pay for it.
Right.
Like, what?
Right.
Doesn't even make sense. You're making tax money probably on the carrots and everything being sold in bait.
Yeah.
There's always money somewhere, and that it just drives me crazy. I'm like, so we lost baiting for this amount of years, and now you're saying, oh, you can have it back, but you got to pay for it. What?
Where's the lot? Like, what led you to that decision, right?
With
like,
less than 1%.
Like, let's let's give credit, right? Less than 1% in deer tested doesn't mean, I've never taken a deer to get tested. Now, granted, I think you can visually see whether it's CWD, and if I thought I had it, I would take it in,
mm-hmm.
right? But let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say, what their numbers show is a third of what's out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing 66% of the deer with CWD because they just don't know about it and people aren't turning their deer.
Yeah.
3% is still small.
I was going to say, I would venture, even if everybody did it, let's say it's 5% or less.
Yeah.
It's still too small to be changing rules, right. Adding costs, spending all this money.
The bigger issue is the herd health. The bigger issue is the quality of deer that are out there.
There's too many deer running around everywhere.
So, I mean, I think that there's bigger issues to deal with than that. And, you know, it's kind of like you hear it out of two sides of the mouth. We don't want you to bait, but we want you to kill the deer.
But we'll take your money.
Which one? Help me out here, you know?
Yeah. How many deer are on that camera, Kevin, today? Kevin's looking at his camera.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI. because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
I think there was nine deer.
Nine healthiest looking deer eating in a food plot on his land. Yeah. So my point is, like, the herd is not changing. It's getting bigger. It's getting more dangerous. The area is actually...
Well, there's always going to be community feeding areas for deer, regardless of baiting.
So frustrating. There's not to plots, mention
there's farms. There's all that stuff. Oh, farms where they found it, though.
Yeah, well... It's fenced in farming.
Was it?
Yeah, originally.
It was a ranch.
It's always been a ranch issue. It's where it starts because the ranch is where you're going to have no room for the deer to get
around. Well, you
how they've been kept.
You also have more feces. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And all that stuff.
It's like a chicken coop, right? Yeah. You don't know how big their coop is that they've been put in. And
it's like a dirty kennel.
So anyway, that's the CWD topic. I know it's a tough one. It's political and all that. But like the problem is, again, you know, you have these regimes running states, and these regimes make these decisions based on, I don't know what they're based on when you have less than 1%. I really don't understand how they could even consider changing anything because of that lowest percent. I mean, I just feel like they thought there's an issue, they handled it, and the percentage is so low, it's done. There's nothing left to handle. You've cleaned house.
Now let's try to move the needle. Let's do something different and see if it moves the needle, right?
And save money.
Maybe we're at a stable point where the unrealistic expectation is to go to zero.
Yeah.
That's probably an unrealistic expectation.
Every state's got
CWD.
It's not just us.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's unrealistic, then let's try something different and see if that moves the needle, and then we can go from there, you know?
Now, there's other states like Ohio who have never banned baiting. They kept baiting alone the whole time they've had CWD.
But they have better deer herd management rules.
Overall, yes. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like they want to raise all these prices, but they don't really look at, like, what's going to drive people to actually come hunt in Michigan? Because I actually thought it was laughable when it said out-of-staters this much. I go, no one's buying out-of-state tag unless they're coming to visit family.
But you remember the one person that we invited to come up here to hunt said, I'm not.
Yeah, he didn't even buy a tag.
I'm going to buy a squirrel tag.
Yeah, he bought a squirrel tag.
Because it's not worth my money to come up here and hunt your deer.
These deer aren't worth
it. I can have my deer back in Indiana.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. If you want to make a state that's going to be awesome for hunting, then you got to really think that through. Like, what are we doing different? Well, just look at Ohio. Like, what's Ohio doing? Copy them. It's not that hard to figure out. It's like our neighbors to the south are doing it right. They always have giant bucks, you know. I mean,
we have a lot of deer.
We have a lot of deer. That's what I'm saying. We have opportunities to have really big deer if we just leave the bucks alone for a few years and let them grow. But, I mean, different ways to look at it. Again, you know, a food harvest tag's different than someone going for antlers, right? I mean, it's two different things we're talking about here. We're talking about trophies to drive people in. Other people are like, dude, what are you talking about? I just got to eat, right? So, totally understand. And maybe there's a limit. Maybe there's not. Maybe it has to do with food. I don't know.
We've never run out of deer except for the UP. But that's more natural than it is over hunting. So.
Oh, so second topic of the day, last topic too. We'll do two major topics. One of the things this year I like to do is talk about some hotter topics if we can, just to, you know, have some good conversation pieces. People love to chime in on these types of things in the comments, so feel free. We'd love to hear your comments on the CWD issues, the baiting issues, and the cost. Right, where does that stop? Where does it go? But the other thing that happened is the dire wolf. I don't know if you saw
that. I saw that. That's been breaking all over the news, man.
That is an interesting idea. So how does this dire wolf that's 10,000 plus years old now being...
Allegedly.
Being brought back to society. I just don't really understand where the point of it or the fit in, right? You can't release them. They're 6 feet long. I mean, they're huge. I mean, it's for a zoo. You know what I'm saying? Or just to prove they can do it?
I think number one, it's proof of concept. You know, it's kind of like the whole cloning thing when they.
Well, it's almost like a real Jurassic Park, though. That's what's weird about it.
It is 100% a real Jurassic Park, except for they didn't, you know, I don't know if they got the DNA from a mosquito.
Oh, I know how they got it. I know how they got it. I read a thing. So they found, I was just telling Kevin this earlier, they found the skull of a dire wolf or something like that, and they in the tooth, they were able to extract the DNA. And the idea actually probably came from Jurassic Park. The original idea, like, oh, could we really extract DNA? That's a good idea.
I might be wrong on this. I think what they did is they took that, they coded the DNA, right? Because they can code DNA. They can figure out all the DNA of a dire wolf. But then they took the DNA of an actual wolf and manipulated it to match the DNA of the dire wolf.
Correct. So 95% of the dire wolf, I read this.
99.5, I think.
It was 95% is what they, well, the thing I saw. 95% of the dire wolf is the northern wolf, whatever we call it.
Gray wolf.
And they took that last 5%, and that's where they digitized all what they basically took the same 95 was the same. They just took that additional 5 and swapped it for the 5, and then it turned into the dire wolf.
I thought it was 99.5. But that's okay.
Oh, maybe it was 95. I heard
chimps and us are only 2%.
Okay, then you're probably right. But but basically the point is like you see the thing, you're like, oh my gosh, dude, that's like it's got like a mane. The larger size when they got bigger, they got like a freaking mane like a lion. It's crazy, and amazing at the same time, but huge.
Were they all white?
Probably.
Because you know you can choose eye color now. And,
well, that's a great
point. You know what I mean?
It showed that they traveled from northern Canada down all the way down through Mexico. Like it was like a path they could travel. So one of the things I heard someone talking about was that, well, it's kind of like a polar bear.
Yeah, I get it.
It starts in this cold region where it's maybe born. And then if it works its way down, cool. But maybe that's why they went extinct. Maybe it worked its way down.
Now that aligns with the end of the last Ice Age allegedly.
Exactly, because maybe the ice was down that way. You know what I mean? And then it got to a point where it's snow white. Yeah. But now...
Well, we'll find out because they're in Texas, and that's a warm
climate. Is that where it was? Texas? Yeah. Okay, so it was Texas. Yep. I thought it was Montana or something.
Yeah, it was like a lab out of Colossus or something like that out of Texas.
I would feel like they would need a colder environment, like northern Canada or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it could have been like a combination of environment and loss of food.
Well, probably food. Yeah, I mean, probably back then.
Who knows? But I'm interested to see how big these things get.
They also said they're going to do a woolly mammoth.
I heard that.
Yeah. And what's that off an elephant? They basically just use an elephant to.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about that real quick. So the woolly mammoth, Kevin and I were actually talking about this earlier, trying to figure out the dates. So is the woolly mammoth the same time as dinosaurs, or after, or before?
Oh, way late. I think woolly mammoths were around with humans.
People. That's what we were trying to figure out. Because we just weren't sure if the movie was real.
No, I mean, they were around at the last ice age, which, you know,
time. So they were like an elephant, basically, just a different type. Real furry, right?
Yeah, they were like bigger. Hardy winter.
That would be cool. I'm not going to lie. It would be sweet if they brought back a little mammoth. Now, what are they going to do? Kevin's like, dude, are they going to buy an island and do like an actual real Jurassic Park? They might.
That'd be pretty cool.
It would be, because you could do sections of it, like fence off sections for certain animals, you know, like the wolves, the...
I need to get a list of
dude, that would be... Okay, can bring back. So Universal just opened that new place, right?
The Lego one?
No.
The Nintendo one?
Yeah, the Nintendo one.
Yeah.
And I forgot the name of it, Universal something. It's brand new, and it's absolutely amazing, right? It's just, it's going to crush the market. It's got, like, the Mario thing. It's got a Harry Potter thing. It's got another thing, which I don't even know what it is. And now there's still room for them to add in other things. Oh, the one where they ride the dragons, that kids show, How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah, How to Train Your
Dragon.
They
have something with that. But my point is, you could do that on an island, but, like, you know, it's, but maybe someone like that owns it, like Universal. You go into this huge thing. It's got the Jurassic opening.
To get there, you have to take their
cruise. Who owns Jurassic Park? Is it Universal?
I have no clue.
I think it's Universal.
Couldn't even guess, honestly.
Wouldn't that be awesome if they had the same Jeeps and it opens up?
You have to take a cruise ship out to the island.
Yes, it'd be so expensive, but awesome. That would be...
That would be really interesting.
Dude, a real-life Jurassic Park.
Ancient petting zoo.
It would. I mean, I was telling Kevin, it'd be... I'm mistaken the woolly mammoth for... a dinosaur that had the armor.
Yeah.
So I was like, wouldn't it be cool to rub your hand on the scales, like the armor?
Now, do you believe in things like the megalodon is still here? You know what the megalodon is?
Yeah.
The giant great white?
Super giant. No, I don't think it's still here, no. But I think you would have already... Somebody would have seen it by now.
Yeah, like on the moon or something.
There's no way. Yeah. There might be a tooth of it that has DNA in it, but I don't think you want to bring that back.
Well, how do you raise it? right? You know what I mean?
With like the ocean, they wouldn't be able to raise it. They have to let it go, and then it would eat ships whole.
I want to see. I want to see pterodactyls.
Is that a flying thing?
Yeah.
Well, that ain't gonna happen.
It's a large flying.
That ain't gonna happen because it's gonna fly and eat somebody.
That'd be awesome.
It'd be even cooler if they put like a thing.
Actually,
in
that would be kind of cool.
It'd be cool if they use them for war. They somehow put a code in them so they could like tell them where to go.
That'd be funny. I think I saw that. What was that on Transformers or something?
That'd be awesome.
Oh my gosh, funny.
Yeah, direwolf. So that's pretty cool. I do have to say, it is kind of scary too. Like, it's like, dude, what are you guys doing? Like, you're just allowed. Like, no one. Is there regulations on this? You can just create a direwolf. Like, how do we know we want them back? Like, what if they create a saber-toothed tiger? Like, is that okay? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, is there nobody? Is it America too? It's not like this is like somewhere we have no control. Which, I mean, I think it's cool. Like, I'm down for it. I just think it's interesting that you could just do that. And I would maybe they have some permit.
Technology is crazy.
I got a good idea. Let's let them loose in the UP.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, oh, yeah. Right? Can you imagine?
Yeah, put them on Isle Royale.
Shoot,
yeah.
Dude. Yeah. Well, what do you do once they kill somebody? That's the thing. It's going to happen. If you were to lease a direwolf in the wild, who knows?
Well, there's only three of them.
Well, right, for now. But, they're 6 feet long.
So, and I don't know. Huge. You know, I didn't read anything about whether or not they are breedable. Right? Are they sterile?
That's a
great
point.
Not sterile? I don't know.
I didn't hear that either. That's a great point you bring up.
So yeah. I'm sure that they can make, I mean, at the very least, you can neuter them, right? Or whatever.
We're not going to do that. They're going to probably try to really raise, like, who knows what they'll do. Yeah. I highly doubt they raise them just to kill them.
Well, it's like the liger, right? The cross between a lion and a tiger. The thing's freaking massive and amazing looking.
Is that in the wild?
But it's sterile. So it can't breed.
Oh, I didn't know
so
that.
So they like a lion and a tiger can breed and create a liger, but then that liger can't create its own.
I did not know that.
So pretty interesting
that's
stuff.
It's weird that it's sterile. That means nature automatically stopped it.
Yeah. Yep. Somehow their genes just don't mesh enough to create a new species, which
Because this works because it's not a new species. It's already a species that's been.
Right.
It just
Yeah, so I'm interested to see long-term how big they get. That's what I want to see. Like, it's cool. Good news. Like, it's awesome. But they show all these pictures of them as a puppy. I'm like, I don't want to see them as a puppy.
Well, they're already bigger, though. That's what's funny. They've been showing
them
all day.
They don't look bigger than a wolf.
But they're already, young still.
Yeah, they're only 7 months.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're not even.
They
just
be pretty cool.
Told the world today. And when they showed that, the little one howling or whatever, and I thought that was cool. But I was like, well, that's not a real. Like, I want to hear when they're old.
Yeah.
Like, I want to hear a real
100%. Wolf howl. Are they feeding them meat? Are they feeding them dog food? Like, what are you doing?
That's a great question. They're probably feeding them other wolves.
Yeah,
who knows?
Could you imagine sitting
vegetarians?
Sitting in the tree stand or in a ground blind and you got a 6-foot wolf that just walks
pure white? You see this white thing coming through the woods? Like, what is that?
Thing is, there's dogs that are that big, right? Like the.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, the Great Dane.
Great Dane's one of them. And then the.
I forgot about that. I forgot
what's
the
other one.
Big.
Wolfhound. I think it's called the Wolfhound. I mean, there's some really big dogs.
Yeah, I forgot
out there,
about
you know?
That dog.
So that's what makes me wonder, like, why couldn't we just bred this thing, you know, rather than create it with genes and stuff?
Is that
like
that,
you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
We that's created chihuahuas out of wolves, you know? Shoot, I think we can do something. Can't we do something bigger? Can't we go bigger instead of smaller?
Yeah, I want something massive.
Too funny.
All right, guys. Well, I think that's it today. I do have a nice list of topics for the next few episodes. I'm not going to put them all in one here, so we're going to do two at once. That way there's room for conversation in these next ones. I got some really good ones, too, on here. Tim's going to hate, but they're going to work. So we'll see you next time on the Outdoor Podcast. If you guys have ideas for topics you want to hear or see, just go ahead and comment below. We'll definitely try to get to that. We'll see you next time right here on Outdoor Podcast.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.